supposed to battle an Israeli, and now he's like not giving me the date, and he's acting all weird. Only battle I want to do. I'm retired, bro.
The only problem is with the average Israeli that he's not willing to believe that his handlers don't have his best interests.
You're talking about Einstein. He was offered to be the president of Israel and he declined.
Why did he decline, it said?
Ill health and lack of experience.
You see how propaganda works?
They remove the actual reasoning, probably.
They changed the reason to, he was a fucking frail old man.
He does not equal MC squared.
It equals what we're saying it does. Yeah.
When Israel first got the Apaches.
When they first dropped.
The Apaches, which is the strongest fucking fighter helicopter on Earth still to this day. And when it came out, it was literally the most terrifying thing in the sky. You don't understand. Planes couldn't fuck with it. It was a ridiculous machine when it came out. We were shown in an educational manner how insane this helicopter was. And then we got to look out our window and see it arrive. You know what I mean? And just level buildings. And like, that's my earliest memory. And I started rapping that week.
Oh, wow.
It was Palestine. Hey, Shimon Peres, bro, had a Palestinian ID, bro. Shubekia's element, bro.
Golda Meir, too. Man,
but yeah, he was saying like, as for the Arabs in Palestine, what they do is their business. But if we can do them a favor, it is to help them liberate themselves from the Orient. So this was the rhetoric that they brought, that they internalized from the anti-Semites in Europe. They internalized into themselves and they projected onto us. And now they want to call us anti-Semitic. To be Semitic is to be Oriental. So they are indeed the anti-Semites that came in with this racist ideology that they internalized from Europe and then brought upon us and then accuse us of doing what the fuck they're doing.
This episode is sponsored by the Santa Monica Library. Yeah.
Welcome to episode 8 of the Habibi House Pod. Was it 8?
I mean, 7.5, what?
Episode 8 of the Habibi House Podcast, the Arab American podcast, as you guys, want to say. Number one Arab American podcast in the world.
I mean, we are the Arab American podcast. Like, can you name another one that's doing it how we do it? That has
nobody. Nobody.
I mean, big hitters. Yeah. And today we have a very, very special guest. Going by the name of Disaster.
What's up, man?
Yes, sir, man. We have a legend in our presence today. He's not the little battle rapper. He's not just the big battle rapper. Hey, man, he is the biggest battle rapper in the world in the studio right now, man.
God, man. Oh, my God.
Listen, he's been putting us Arabs on the map since you were doing long division by hand in school, baby. And he has been also terrorizing. Listen, Disaster's terrorized many a whack rapper. He has decimated the careers and egos of grown men.
Fact.
He's battled and beaten, if I do say so myself, other legends like Cannabis. Just watched that battle yesterday. Shit was funny.
Really crazy.
DNA, Hollowhand, Daylight, folks. He's wrestled with the best of them and came out on top.
Yeah, man.
So, and then to add salt on the wound, he was recently cast to play Eminem. I mean, play a movie directed by Eminem, right?
Yeah. We put out Bodied. It was a movie produced by Eminem. The director was Joseph Kahn. Eminem was the producer of the movie. It was a battle rap movie that we did. There's a lot of well-known faces in hip hop that are in there. It was pretty awesome. Go watch it. Bodied, man. I'm the star bad guy in it. Because like Eddie was saying earlier.
Megaton, right?
I was Megaton in the thing, but.
You're Clarence, basically. Your real name is Clarence.
No, I'm a terrorist Arabic fucking rapper that punches people in the fucking face, and I'm literally trying to beat everyone the fuck up, and I have anger issues.
You played yourself.
Which is funny because they told me they wanted me to play myself, but I felt like...
It was too aggressive.
Well, it's not that it's too aggressive. I'm just the bad guy of the story, and then the guy that wins is like Eminem's image, you know, and I'm the that's trying to take it, you know?
Got it.
Yo, the Muhammad loses in the end.
That was going to make us lose.
Yeah, I had the bad guy role, but it was fun, like, being myself in that movie and kind of just, you know.
Are you writing?
Huh?
Like, you write all your stuff? Or
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to let nobody else write my shit, especially when I'm better than all those motherfuckers. Right. What's crazy is in the movie, like, so when it was put out, they released the trailer of me versus this kid named MC Goggles. In the movie, I break his glasses and I kick him off the stage, and I'm like battling him. Mm. When they put it out, it was the only video they put out. They put produced by Eminem, and it showed me battling him. All the people that were in the comments, it started a war because people were like, "Oh, Eminem wrote all this," and then it was people like, "Nah, you idiot, this is a disaster," and right. He would fucking kill Eminem. Yeah. That shit turned into like a crazy. Damn. Discussion that leaked onto Twitter, right? So I started retweeting all of it.
Yeah.
Retweeting, like, people saying that I would beat Eminem. I would retweet people saying that Eminem would beat me. I would just, you know, I was putting all of it up.
Yeah.
And they hit me up and were like, bring that shit down right now or we're going to fucking, like, bro, I got, like, threatened to remove all that shit.
Oh, the movie studio?
Yeah, bro, I got threatened because how dare I suggest that I would rip Eminem, you know what I mean?
I actually was going to ask you about that a little later.
You think Eminem got upset?
Hilarious shit, bro.
You think Eminem would be upset or just his team?
I don't know if he would ever be upset about something because he's a competitive lyricist, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but everyone, it's like...
I definitely want to see your opinion on that battle. But yeah, man, listen, I mean, you're known for your aggressive showmanship, right? You're known for that, like, get in your face and really spit at people. You show no mercy to the enemies, you know?
Yeah.
But today you were kind enough to sit down with us, so we appreciate you, you know, coming into the studio.
You're going to come at all of us.
I mean, just yesterday you were roasting some Zionist on it.
I was, I didn't mean it to be no, like, to be honest with you, I was trying to be respectful. And now at this point, it's like, I already said mad fucked up shit to him. But, like, because he decided to go online after we had the fucking conversation. And what happened was, man, I really want to talk about this, actually. Yeah, this is awesome.
Let us know.
Because, like, he reflects, like, so much of their behavior. Like, he is the prototype of the brainwashed kid that doesn't want to hear anything but his side of the story. And then, like, they try to keep it all in the shadows, right? Like, he was trying to do this shit on his Insta and all this shit. I brought him to my Insta, and now, like, he's, like, in front of everybody. Mm. And, like, now when the conversation happened, when it first ended, he, like, didn't know how to feel about it. So we started talking, and he was like, I feel like that. But he wasn't really tripping. I was like, we gonna do another one, and he was like, okay, cool. And then he just started seeing all the comments of people saying he was delusional and all this shit. And he started tripping and started saying that I set him up and cut off his live. And he started with the victim shit. Like, I was on there making points and he cut me off. And but it turns out that it cut off because it went to 1 hour. You know, Instagram don't let you. Yeah.
Bro, I was but on like, that whole live.
Yeah, so I was like this far when it cut off. Like,
right.
You fucking stupid, bro. Like, I didn't touch my phone. Like, you could tell I didn't touch my phone. You're just playing victim.
Right. Crazy.
The playbook, man.
And it's like, bro, I could have hurt the kid's feelings, bro. I really could have.
You held back.
Like, I could have just told him, listen, man, your whole life is a lie, bro.
Right.
Everything you believe in that you think is happening to you, you're doing yourself. Right. You're not the victim in any situation. You don't have the upper hand in this conversation. You are just to listen. And the only way you could ever be an ally to humanity or anything, if you're willing to re-examine yourself and who you are, your characteristics as a person, fuck what's happening.
Right.
Like, you as a person need to reevaluate because like, they're trying to make it this Jewish thing. He's always, this is what they do. But it's like, bro, how much do we love the Jews that are like, oh, no, we know what the fuck's going on. It's like, bro, come give me a fucking hug. Right. I'll take a bullet for you. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, you know what I'm saying? Like,
100%.
Like, so.
So you're not anti-Semitic?
Of course not. I am anti-Semitic.
Right.
You're Semitic.
Bro, they're like our cousins, bro. We're so similar to them. Like, I start thinking about it sometimes. Like, imagine a world where we're benefiting off each other.
Man.
Where we're, like, helping each other with shit. Like, we would be like the toughest group of people on earth if we stuck together and we were all like the Middle East. Like, like nobody could fuck with us. Right. We have everything covered. You know what I mean?
No, literally.
But there's
I think it's important though for people to know that there are people that are Jewish that don't support what that government is doing.
A lot of
doing.
Them. It's like a huge amount. It's bro, and you have to understand Zionism is opposed.
But they,
it's diametrically opposed to Judaism. And you see in the Orthodox Jews, we know this. Yeah. We see groups of them. They're out in the rain, in the freezing cold, telling you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Rabbi Ilhan Beck. Yeah. You know what I mean? Ilhan Beck.
Yeah.
Another amazing guy. You know the one I'm talking about?
The guy in New York.
The babysitter of the children. Yeah, you know? Yeah. I fucking love him. And like when love he explains guy. To you, like you see, like, bro, when you see like a real Jewish man that follows and that's a righteous man, bro, they have a glow in their eye that nobody has. Yeah, they're amazing fucking people. Yes. You know what I mean? Yes. But it's like a lot of them, what's happened with them, bro, is not their fault. Israelis have... In Jews in general had to escape. They cannot escape this propaganda where they are tied identity wise into the flag, into Zionism. So like, it's like Jewish flag and Zionism. Right. They can't escape that. It's like telling them like, bro, don't be yourself. Yeah. Like you can't tell a Zionist like, look, bro, Zionism is a form of white supremacy. Right. You know what I mean? Most Def just said it, but we didn't need him to say it. Shouts out to Yassin Bey, the GOAT. Yeah.
Shout out
but we didn't need him to say it. We know this.
Right.
Like,
well, they have a, I feel like people have a different understanding of what Zionism is because I mean, I've met some people, have done some interviews and I'm like, he's like, yeah, I'm a Zionist. What do you mean? I want the state of Israel, you know, to exist.
They're being naive about it. Because I mean, it did start. So the idea of Zionism was way better than what it turned out to be now.
Correct. He's right about that. But it wasn't supposed to be what it became. Correct.
Yes and no, because I was reading some of like the original literature, and there's definitely like Theodore Herzl was caught saying like, when we get there, we're gonna leave them be what they are and do their thing, and you are my brother, man. He has a quote saying that. But then also there's quotes.
Is that substantiated? Like, do we know like that's 100% what he said?
Yeah.
These are writings of it.
This was a quote. I read this in.
I mean, Theodore Herzl. Herzl. We already know that. Like, he's not. You know, this is not. He to me, he's like. You know, like Karl Marx. Like he's like.
Right.
Like you, an ideology that's way past its it cannot fit in modern times. You cannot tell a group of people that you feel like you are superior to them and still have an equal fucking situation where everybody's going to be okay with the shit. But human beings, bro, if we go to a fucking DMV or we go to a fucking line of food and we see somebody get preferable fucking treatment, we're going to be like, yo, hold the fuck up. Why did this guy just cut me in line? You know, just imagine like you have a whole entire world of this.
Right. Yeah,
there's no way you could exist in a city. And the thing is about like Zionism is it's closer to atheism than it is to Judaism.
Very much so.
Well, they were atheists.
And it's like the belief of forcing Jews out of exile when they're supposed to stay there until the Messiah comes is an act of defying God to them. And when you talk to any rabbi, they tell you this because they fear God. They fear their commandments, their books. Right. So they, you know what I'm saying? Like you hear it from them. Yeah. Who do you not hear it from? The kids and the young ones that don't study shit anyway. So like, why do we give a fuck what they think?
Right.
You know what I mean?
If anything, if you were if you're Jewish, you would be pissed at Zionism because it hijacked.
It's making you look
hijacked
bad.
Their identity.
Hijacked. Yeah. It took the religion, hijacked it, and used it for
especially bad when a non-religious person that does not believe in God does something in the name of religion, automatically it's lost bad. All credibility.
Makes everyone look bad.
Automatically, if you're not working for God, who are you working for? But to round off the point about Theodore, because the reason I said yes and no is because there were some of those sentiments to where it's like, we'll let them do their thing, we'll do our thing. But there was also different party, like Zionist ideologies and parties. There was like
there's a bunch of them.
Labor Zionism. There was Christian Zionism.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
It evolved. So, of course. Evolved,
yeah, but in the origination stage. Like, for example, Ahad Ham is another one of the Zionist scholars. He was kind of the leading Zionist proponent before Theodore Herzl kind of came in and took the stage. His idea was not to create a Jewish state. It was just to have a Jewish culture existing in Palestine. He did not want to officially create a state. And he was
because he feared what would happen if a state was actually created.
Yeah.
This is just like when Einstein, Einstein had the same sentiments. He started off as being pro-Zionist and then realized that this might not be the best idea. And Hesed, who's actually like a huge Jewish leader from back in the day, who really opposed this because he felt like this would eventually ruin the name of Judaism and it would make it unsafe for them. And it's like, bro, at the end of the day, when you look at this, They're just like any other culture that's been hijacked by their government. The only problem is with the average Israeli that he's not willing to believe that his handlers don't have his best interests. Like every other country knows this.
Yeah.
I'm a Lebanese man. I love my country.
Right.
I love Lebanon. That doesn't mean I'm going to go fucking bootlick the politicians.
Right. Yeah, like, you're saying this on the live.
They don't care. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to do
it's
that
okay
to be Lebanese.
To say you don't support your government.
This is what blows me my mind about them, is that they feel like they have to support them to fucking be aligned with their own identity. Right. How is that possible?
Through a whole genocide.
So to me, that is a dictatorship.
I mean, like, it's not a democracy. Where else in the world do you... Like, which country has it where these colors represent the government? It's like a gang, right? If you wear yellow, you're Hezbollah. If you wear green...
you're talking about, to them out there.
In Lebanon.
In Lebanon. Oh, like, in Lebanon, yeah. Well, it's all colors. We definitely have the color thing, yeah. But were you asking?
I'm just saying, like, where else in the world is it like that, where it's that backwards, where, like, if you wear a yellow shirt, you're automatically considered...
You know, Lebanon, we're probably the most... Compton. We're the
most...
I'm talking
about politics. You know that... I'm talking about government.
We're like the most sectarianism, you know, country on earth. We have so many religions fighting. Like, it's not now, but we come from literally four or five religions going to war with each other over one region. You know what I mean?
You're talking about Einstein. He was offered to be the president of Israel and he declined.
Really?
Yeah, but what did they say? Why did he decline? It said,
Old
president
citing ill health and lack of experience.
And that literally, do you see how that works? You see how propaganda works?
They remove the actual reasoning, probably.
They changed the reason to, he was a fucking frail old man.
Yeah.
Like, the reasoning is so crazy because it's a shot back at him for talking shit. It's like, you want to talk shit? Now you're dead and this is...
yeah, literally.
He does so not equal MC squared.
It equals what we're saying it does.
Yeah. No, man, it is crazy though. I was reading up yesterday on, like, I was trying to understand, like, trying to reconcile, like, the idea of their victimhood combined with, like, their current oppressive, like, nature and force. And it's like, how do you turn out to be so oppressive when you were the victim? And I was reading that they essentially adapt because let's keep it
because it's not the same people, bro. Well, it's not the same people. They're not, in fact,
right. No, for sure. But what I was reading too, bro, is that they essentially adopted, because I was going to say, like, let's keep it a buck. There was a ton of anti-Semitism throughout the world, throughout history, especially in Europe.
I mean,
right?
it exists.
That's what I was telling the Elon guy. I was telling him, he was trying to talk to me about Iraq, and things happened in Iraq with Jews, but also there's a lot of Mossad stuff that he didn't want to talk about.
Yeah.
But that was essentially what I was telling Elon.
Right. And here's the thing about, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, like, again, I would be pissed as a Jewish person for people to say everything is anti-Semitic because it waters down.
It's like pulling the race card, or you know what I mean.
Right. It waters it down. Because anti-Semitism is real and it's a real thing, correct, just like Islamophobia.
Yeah,
and but when everything is called anti-Semitic, it loses its meaning, and
anti-Semitism is what it originally was coming out of Europe, and it's the anger of the white man in Europe because the Jews were better than them at getting money.
That's
to me what anti-Semitism.
That's part of it, bro.
Well, it's the word in Germany.
They hate us because they started mad propaganda on them and created all this shit around them because
they owed them money.
Yeah. And they needed money, and it was just like they were like the Jewish, like when you look at it from a broad perspective, they kept their money inside and they were like, fuck all these guys. They don't fuck with us, which is really admirable. If you actually watch The House of Rothschilds, which is a crazy fucking movie, it's like one of the first movies ever made. Mm. You know what I mean? It's like an old movie from the 1900s in black and white. It shows you their story, bro.
Wow.
It shows you the story, how even they spread out, how they took over the bank shit. And it's some gangster shit, bro. Like, they come from like real oppression, bro.
Like,
the Jews before these kids that are privileged now, that are on TikTok and fucking like acting like their life is so bad, they come from some real, real shit where they couldn't even eat steak and they couldn't even do certain things.
I mean, they had ghettos, right? They were like, anti-Semitism is real.
Yeah. And they were admonished, like the way they got into the money game is they were told they can't do nothing else. So they picked up the one thing that only they could do because Christians couldn't deal with interest, right? And so they started doing the money lending thing and ended up being their... their superpower in a way. But so that's definitely part of it, was like the sentiment of disliking them because they owed them money, like some of the British rulers and the old school kings and queens and shit like that. But another thing too that I was reading about, and this was really interesting to me, is that they were hated because they were seen as non-white, or they had like a vein of Orientalism.
It's the same as how the KKK see it. They don't consider white Jews white people. Exactly. They're just like something else to them. To us, they're all white.
Literally, there was a quote coming, and some of them did just straight up convert. Like there's people that are Judaized. Judaized.
Can you guys?
And they're called the Subotniks. So they converted a lot of Russians. But besides that, the Europeans at the time, like the people that were in power, they disliked them because of their Oriental nature. There was even a sentence that came out and said, "These are Palestinians amongst us." So they were experiencing racism in Europe for having a connection to the Orient. Because there was this white supremacy, this idea that like Europeans are superior to anyone in the East. So, but then they eventually ended up adopting and internalizing that racism, and they made it their own. So now they were like, yeah, no, they started pushing themselves further and further away from the Orient, us, the Middle East, and they started taking this role of like, we're not them, we're different, we're like you guys. So it's almost like playing, trying to get the sympathy of your, like, what is that, imposter syndrome, like when you're the prisoner starts.
Stockholm syndrome. Yeah, when pretty much when you fucking gain a liking for your abuser.
Right. Well, so, and the final point I'll make in that is, so they became racist in trying to separate themselves away from the East.
Right.
They became racist amongst each other against the Jews that were in the Mizrahi Jews. They experienced a ton of racism when they first got to Israel and segregation. And so eventually what happened is they internalized this hate and this racism, and they expressed it and they brought it on to us. And that's how I think we landed where we are.
Saha, man, saha.
Well, after
was a guy with his last breath, he will
dying breath. Bro.
But yeah, I mean,
that should give us some empathy for.
I mean, the word anti-Zion, or I mean, sorry, anti-Semitic. It started in Germany, right? And that even was a hijacked term, because we're trying to make it clear that Arabs are also Semitic, right?
Well, what do you mean? It's so the Levant. The whole
when somebody takes that phrase and says Semites, and it's just like only Jews, right? And then we're like, whoa. You know, you're calling us anti-Semitic, and we're Semitic.
But like, it would be half the problem if it was like a Sephardic Jew saying it.
Yeah.
Like, if it was a Sephardic Jew saying it to me, at least I could be like, all right, listen, dumbass, I'm you.
Right.
You know what I mean? I could be like, we're the same person. But it's crazy when a white guy tells you,
literally, the Ashkenazi.
When a white guy tells you, you're an anti-Semite. It's like, what? I'm a Semite, you're not.
Yeah.
Like how, like if anything, like it's backwards. Like that's where I don't get it. And telling a Lebanese or a Palestinian man, like any Arab has a right to feel a certain way. Like what, like black folks have a right to feel a certain way about white people in America.
Right.
But more than any Arab, Lebanese and Palestinians have a right to feel the way the fuck they want, because they don't feel a way out of, oh, I don't like how this guy looks or sounds. Right. It's like, nah, bro, this guy's been fucking poking me, busting my shit up my whole life. I'm supposed to feel a certain way towards it.
Beating,
you know what I'm saying?
Imprisoning me.
And here's the thing. I mean, I bring this up a lot, but I was even there in 2006 during
me
the
too,
war.
Man. That's
so
crazy.
So yeah, we could talk about that.
Yeah, but, we should.
But we should. You know, and I was much younger. Well, not
like, you are way younger
I'm
than me.
I'm 9 years probably. Like you're 39. Right?
Yeah.
I'm
you're 30? 30.
Yeah. So I was 13 at the time, and I had a younger kid. I mean, sorry, younger siblings, also 2-year-old sister. You know, and we were going through that, and we went through all of that. My apartment building was completely demolished.
Wait, where do you live in Lebanon?
Well, we were living in the Dahiyeh at the time. Man. So we were in the
I'm trenches. Right next to you, bro. I'm literally right there. I was in Shwayfet ala mafrah Hayya Sallum. So like it's what separates me from the Dahiya is just one street that Shiyah. I lived on.
Shiyah Mawad.
No, it's Tariq Said al-Adimi Shwayfet. I'm Shwayfet. So it's like right there. But like I basically went to school and lived right ala hudud al-Dahiya.
Okay.
Like right there. Like the first couple of buildings tabaa Dahiya ad-Din Baytna. And basically,
we lived in during the Civil War, we were on the green zone, basically. Like,
we're right there, bro. Like, you know what I mean? So, we've seen it's like, no, Jnub, they hit south. Most people understand that, like, yes, Israel is bombing the south. The south has taken the heaviest hits from Lebanon, and it's been occupied the most. And there's still eight towns that are occupied. That's another conversation. But more than that,
I mean, Shiba. Like, Shiba,
There's seven other.
We have land in Shiba.
Lebanon's farms. Lebanon's being occupied.
Yeah, there's eight towns that are Lebanese that are now under Israeli occupation, and it's been that way. We were pretty much freed from the occupation in the year 2000, but these towns remained, and they didn't.
Like a no man's land.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and Shiba is part of this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So,
and it's parts for Syria, too. They're listed, bro. They're listed.
Always.
What was I going to say before that, though? Hold on.
Yeah.
I just was going to say, so living in the Dahiya, you also get to, you got to experience a lot of crazy shit. I don't know what that is, but.
Is that me?
Something playing?
It's not me. Probably you.
Just started playing No Man's Land.
My point is, living in a Dahiya,
that's crazy.
You got to experience crazy shit. And one of those was, since my balcony where I was, the Dahiya is like right underneath me and right in front of me. One of those things you got to experience is when Israel first got the Apaches. So when Israel first...
When they first dropped
the Apaches.
We've seen
them on television.
Oh, is it a helicopter?
The Apache helicopter, which is the strongest fucking fighter helicopter on Earth still to this day. And when it came out, it was literally the most terrifying thing in the sky. You don't understand. Planes couldn't fuck with it. It was a ridiculous machine when it came out. Oh. It came out in like, I think it was like the early 2000s or late 90s. So we seen them on television. We were shown educationally first. Mm-hmm. This was the life of a fucking Arab. We're shown in an educational manner how insane this helicopter was. And then we got to look out our window and see it arrive. You know what I mean? And just level buildings. And like, that's my earliest memory. And I started rapping that week.
Oh, wow.
Like, whenever that happened, I was writing about that shit.
Damn.
And so, that's how I started writing. Yes. My first bars that I wrote were literally about the shit.
Again, the buildings. Wow. The only reason, one of the only reasons
I mentioned these bars.
is because.
It was that crazy.
I'm telling you. Like, I'm sure there's some underlying PTSD that I haven't like dealt with or whatever. Like, you know, when I see these clips that are happening now, I'm always like, this could have been me. My apartment building literally our neighbor building.
My PTSD memory of it, I remember just like yesterday. I'm not going to say that it's something that keeps me up from sleeping at night, but I'll tell you what, when you're a kid, all you think about is other kids. You don't think about adults. You don't give a fuck about them. So when that Apache showed up and it leveled a building right in front of us and like our glass cracked in our building and me and, you know, we had babysitters when we were young, like our parents both worked. And so like me and her were like huddled up in the fucking corner. And I just remembered the thought that I had. The thought that I had was this weird, like, my heart sank. And it's because I telepathically, like in my brain, heard the kids inside the building scream. Cause I know that was a regular building. Like I've seen a building in a neighborhood. I know it's not a base.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
A building got hit, like, and it got leveled. Right. So like I seen it and I just remember when it got leveled, I was just like, I just imagined like a bunch of kids just disappear. Like, I wasn't thinking of adults. I was just thinking of kids because those are my homies when you're a kid. Those are your homies. Yeah. You know, kids are like the only thing that matter. You don't give a fuck about adults.
Right.
Fuck the adults.
Right.
Gang, gang.
But it's all good. It's all good. They drop the pamphlets. That's fine.
You know, see, but that's like new. Like even just hearing these stories about, oh, they're getting warnings. And that shit didn't exist in Lebanon.
Right.
There was no warning. You're woken up in the middle of the night, just right. explosions yeah. and the sky cracking in half and just... And they just hit everything. You never know what they're going to hit. Electrical plants, yeah. airport. They fucked our airport up. They fucked up bridges. The closest I've ever came to being a victim of this shit was literally in 2006, far away from all the shit, in the mountains, passing through a bridge, trying to get into Syria after they leveled the whole fucking country and fucked over their fucking shit. I passed through a bridge with a cab that's pretty much treating us crazy, me and my father. We pass through and I hear on the radio that the bridge is gone 10 minutes later. 10 minutes after we pass the bridge, they're like, I hear the bridge name on the thing. I'm like, nah, that's not the same bridge, right? And I look at my dad and he's just like, helicopter tala ademak.
Wow.
Like, bro, I'm like, what? Like, and the fucking cab driver acted like he couldn't hear it. I was like, am I the only one in this fucking cab that just almost died 10 minutes ago?
They bombed the bridge. You guys just fucking passed.
We just passed it. And then we like started hearing, why are they bombing bridges? Shit. Nobody fucking knows. They were just hitting bridges randomly in the mountains.
They wanted to completely isolate and no way out, no way in.
The
airport too. So like, again, I was 13 years old. I was in Egypt actually when the shit went down. I was at a basketball tournament. My little brother was with me. So it was a bunch of kids at this camp. We're all huddled around a TV even smaller than this, you know, in one hotel room. And we're seeing smoke. I couldn't even read Arabic at the time. And it's like, I was like, what's going on? And people just looked like they saw a goat. They were as white as, you know, your kufiya. And it was just like, we just saw smoke coming from the airport. And we're like, we're in Egypt. We're stuck. We don't know how we're going to get back. So luckily we had gangster ass, chaperones that had been through the shit, been through the wars decades before. Right. And they we had to go to Syria.
Oh, so we had the same. We did the same thing.
I forget. It was from Cairo. From Egypt to Syria.
Oh, my God.
We took a bus from Syria.
So you came back in.
Back into Lebanon?
Yeah, yeah.
While it was going down? In the way I got out.
So
it's crazy.
Same shit.
You guys crossed paths.
It was a bus.
I left at the end of it. Like it was like probably like the last week. My dad had to get back to work, and then we left the rest of our family behind. My dad was about to leave by himself. I didn't even want to go. I just had to. I had no other choice. Right, so I left with him, and then I had to go to Germany and do a battle and
No,
I'm tripping. That was like a different one. That's so crazy. In 2019, some shit was happening.
Oh, shit.
And I went to Germany. It was before, like, I don't know what was happening right before the pandemic, bro. They were sending drones on Dahi and shit started popping again. And it looked like shit was going to happen again. Yeah. And
it's crazy that those two incidents are like almost inseparable in your brain. The fact
it merged 2006 and 2019.
That's a long time too, bro.
Merged, but yeah, that's because crazy, it's like.
It's that PTSD probably.
It's basically happened so much throughout the years of our life that like a lot of these merge, you know what I mean? Like I tend to, you know, even when the airport got bombed, I just so happened to be there again in the same area, but I lived, my balcony was right above the airport. Like the airport was my backyard, bro. The airport is 1 minute away from me. Technically, for those who don't know, Matar Beirut is not in Beirut. It's in Shwayfit. It's in Beirut al-Kubra. It's like how Inglewood is. Like like the airport's in Inglewood. It's not in LA.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's the same for us, you know? So, you know. It's fucking crazy. Seeing that shit right in front of you. You know what I mean? It all merged together. I couldn't even fucking remember what time one of it happened.
Yeah. Those moments, I can only imagine.
And I asked you, so like we eventually got back in.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The bridge got destroyed. We had it was me and my brother only had the American passport. So they stopped us an hour. You know, they gave us the whole, you know, interview process. We weren't allowed in.
Did they ask you if you were a terrorist?
Essentially, yeah. We crossed that bridge, the Syria-Lebanon, you know, crossing, and they completely leveled it.
So crazy, man.
But yeah, so, and then we had to, 3 months or 2 months later, when we didn't take the, you know, there was like a boat to Cyprus for the Americans escape.
There was a boat that came and took everybody. We missed
that.
We were probably...
We did the same shit.
Crazy around.
And
the
then
same
we waited,
time.
And we actually escaped to Jordan.
So that's how, because you, It's weird. What the fuck was going on? Why couldn't we leave from Syria?
I don't know.
Was it already fucked up? And see, no, it wasn't. Syria wasn't fucked up.
Syria was good.
Dog. So, like, the way my shit ended real quick, because I know you want to ask us something.
Yeah.
But we went into Syria, and from Syria, we went to Jordan. From Jordan, I flew to Germany, and that's why it all mixed together because of the other trip.
Right.
But when we got
I don't think they were allowing planes from Syria to Europe.
They were all grounded, the planes, the Damascus airport,
So Jordan, so the only time I've ever been able to experience Jordan, unfortunately, Amman, was when I was escaping Lebanon.
It's crazy.
Yep, and I went into Jordan, and I was literally so radicalized and so like Lebanese, like so I came out in a wife beater, and all I had back then was the cedar tree. Like I didn't have all the tattoos I have, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like some dude seen it and just kept on staring at it and giving me the look down, and I was just like, what's popping in the middle of the airport? My dad's like, we need to get back. Like, bro, we're gonna be stuck here. I'm ready to tear the airport over this guy looking at my tattoo.
Hey man, they'll fight you in Jordan too.
Oh, I was ready to go.
Yeah.
Over the cedar tree.
That's the problem, is that the Arabs are fighting each other when we should really
exactly. And I hate to be the guy that was gonna do that, but this guy was literally mad dogging me because of my tattoo, man. I felt like he had a problem.
That's just how Jordanians' Jesus faces are.
Them and Jesus.
Probably.
Can I ask you a question have you ever fought someone in a rap battle?
Well, before we go there, because that's coming up.
I'm not talking about that.
We do. I that was one of the questions, but we don't have to.
Yeah. I'm not talking about that.
But I pulled up. I watched that battle. Someone put. We'll talk about it. But no, I pulled up some of the literature I was reading because I want to be specific, and I want you to read one of these. I'm passing the phone. But basically, it was a British anti-Semite by the name of Houston Stuart Chamberlain, right?
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, and he was kind of spewing some of this like anti-Semitic rhetoric with this. It almost had like a pseudoscientific gloss. They're saying where he was saying how the Aryan race was superior, and essentially he was saying that Jews, the contemporary Jews at the time, this was in. This is probably in the 19th century. Like he was saying, they were a half caste. Like they're a mixture between Semites and they're basically the transition between black and white people. Essentially, is what he was saying. And Hitler even took direct inspiration from him. Right. Well, so he was the one.
Imagine being cited. Your sources are cited, like Hitler cited you.
Imagine Hitler inspired by you.
He's like, hey, can I use this in my essay?
Is there somebody else like him?
Yeah, exactly.
But no, it was backwards. It was Margaret Sanger or Thatcher. I forgot her fucking last name. Who was sending him letters? The one, she's the Planned Parenthood genociding bitch.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking Margaret fucking Sanger. I think that's her name.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Planned Parenthood is a genocide?
Well, the people behind it, the people that are behind the idea of it were people that believed in depopulation and vaccinating people and doing crazy ass shit to people, and they're also behind abortions.
Got it.
This is the conspiracy corner.
No, it's definitely not. This is definitely not. This is all fucking well documented public knowledge.
Yeah.
Talking about things that
people will call.
Just so I don't get her name wrong.
People will call it a conspiracy, though. I'm just saying.
I mean, they could, I guess.
I'm trying to.
But, like, the thing is with these situations is they, back then, it was okay to talk like this, so people didn't give a fuck. Yeah, it was Sanger. It was Margaret Sanger, I think. Here, hold on. Yep. She's literally behind it. When you look her up, her thing is, like, the truth behind Planned Parenthood, racism, eugenics, and hatred.
I've heard of this.
They're the people that thought, like, they're also behind eugenics. And if you look at fucking Bill Gates, his father is part of this shit, too. Patrick Williams Gates, his father. Bill Gates' father is a depopulation believer. Anyways, this is a different fucking, for a different podcast. That was my point.
I mean, it's related, like this whole like racial.
That was my point. She loved Hitler. Yeah. And this guy loved Hitler, so they're all fucking.
He inspired Hitler.
Well, they're
all nice, like colonizing fucking.
Literally, this racial superiority logic, bro. But basically, he's the one, like Chamberlain was the one that solidified the dynamic of pitting good Jews against bad Jews, right? And then it's saying that later on, the Jews themselves internalized and normalized the sentiment to their detriment, right? So that's kind of the background of him having this belief that they're impure, that they're not the Aryan race, right? Similar to the Hitler logic. And then this is what some of the Zionist leaders, after internalizing that, started saying things like this. Like, watch, I want you to read it.
You want me to read? Shit.
Just this one.
Oh, God.
Oh, man, you're going to have to give me your passcode. And your girl's probably watching, so I'm just letting you know.
He has a home button.
What kind of phone is this?
It's the iPhone 2, bro. Yeah,
the OG. You know, give me the passcode on live.
We'll cut it out.
All right.
Gotta change it.
Oh, you going to make me say this? God damn, he chose the craziest one to make me say, hey, I'm reading this quote, and I don't believe nothing that's written
this
over here.
This is a quote from, like, a Zionist leader.
So this is a Zionist leader.
Back in the day.
In the book History of the Jews, I think, in his 11th volume, the Jews in Muslim lands deemed the real Orientals among the Jews the most uncivilized and inferior of all. Crazy. This is horrific stuff.
Literally. So this was the sentiment. This was the logic. There's another one I'll read because it's a bit long. I don't want you to have to.
I mean, like, the way they're talking, idea what that means. You can tell that's, like, in a modern day times like this, like, these people could not have existed.
Well,
like,
they terrorized each other. So, like, a thing that people don't understand is that, like, the Zionist terror groups of the 1900s actually bombed.
You're talking about Irgun and Haganah.
Yeah.
These are the precursors to those people, like, right. The stuff we're reading. So, like, this is the. Yeah. The one I wanted to read, and I'm gonna let you go on, just so we can set the scene for why we're at where we're at today, bro. Yeah. I'm reading straight literature, like, this is just history. Thanks. So the founder of Zionist revisionism, precursor to Likud,
yeah,
right. You guys know the Likud party, Zev Jabotinsky, right? He wrote, "We Jews have nothing in common with what is called the Orient. Thank God.
Basically, us,
right." To the extent that our uneducated masses have ancient spiritual traditions and laws that call the Orient, they must be weaned away from them. And this is, in fact, what we are doing in every decent school in Palestine. What life itself is doing with great success. We are going in Palestine, first, for our national convenience. Second, to sweep out thoroughly all traces of the Oriental soul.
Oof.
As for the Palestinians, Arabs in Palestine, he has in quotes, what they do, and this, there was no, so he's recognizing Palestinians. So this current, the offspring of these people are the ones gaslighting us, saying we don't exist. But these people, at least they knew that it was Palestine. Hey,
Shimon Perez, bro, had a Palestinian ID, bro. Shubek is bro.
He's saying, like, as for the Arabs in Palestine, what they do is their business. But if we can do them a favor, it is to help them liberate themselves from the Orient. So this was the rhetoric that they brought, that they internalized from the anti-Semites in Europe. They internalized into themselves and they projected onto us. And now they want to call us anti-Semitic. To be Semitic is to be Oriental. So they are indeed the anti-Semites that came in with this racist ideology that they internalized from Europe and then brought upon us and then accuse us of doing what the fuck they're doing.
This episode is sponsored by the Santa Monica Library.
Yeah, what's crazy is that, like, that's the most educated way to say it. I've always known that, but you articulated that pretty good.
It's just in books, bro. This is a Jewish writer.
I mean, look, this could explain also why a lot of hardcore Jews have a problem with Zionism. It's very simple. Oh, yeah. You see it, like,
a lot of truly religious, God fearing Jews.
Like this dude I was arguing with on my live can't be mad at me because I don't support Zionism when half his people don't. Like, what are you doing? Like, you coming at me? Go have a fight in your house. In your house, you probably got a couple people that are being quiet. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because, you know, they have an ostracizing type of community, which brings me to another thing. They keep on calling people Nazis and all this shit, but it's like everywhere you turn, they have the closest environment to it. You know what I mean? Where you can't even say anything, where there's thought police, 1984, Orwellian type of thought police shit, where you can't even say nothing and people come knock on your door like Nazis did. Who the fuck came and knocked on your door when you said something publicly or people heard that you might not fuck with the Gestapos or you don't think Hitler is the king?
Right.
It's North Korea shit.
The techno, I mean, look, the technology now is even crazier, right? So the things that people are able to do these days, like in Israel, I mean, I'm sure the Nazis thought about it, but like they're doing skin banks in Israel.
Oh yeah,
they're
talking about some. Yeah, see, this is the type of shit. Like people,
they're taking the bodies. They're taking the bodies.
Yep. I get uncomfortable.
They're taking
it.
The bodies. It's they don't want to use their own people's.
It's about like skin 97%.
Right,
97%. What?
What do you think? He'll explain it to you. What do you think is the 97%
of the cells that they
of the bodies, the skin. Where does it come from? 97%
Palestinian people.
Yeah, this is what they're like. They're using.
They're
for
taking
surgery.
The bodies. I mean, okay,
skin grafts.
They
skin
literally. Grafts.
Yeah, I mean, the other 3%. Why do you is think, like other foreigners?
why do you, they go to the hospitals? They take they steal the body. They don't even let the people rest when they're dead.
Yeah.
They take the bodies. The truth, they take the bodies. They take their organs. They take their skin, and then they return them. And the families are like, "What? Why? Why are their bodies missing stuff?" Right?
Yeah. This is all real shit. He says
skin banks. Look them up.
Documented shit too. This is not.
So
like,
when we're calling them Nazis, sometimes it's even worse because they now we have the technology to do that with the Pegasus that they have in Israel. They didn't have that during the. I mean, that's like the spyware that they have in all our phones.
Yeah.
Where they could just turn on your camera and turn on your microphone.
Even
and whatever.
The images that recently came out of the prisoners being paraded in the streets in their underwear. Like you see the image of that next to like what they were doing in Germany. There's like a very
it's the same thing as humiliation. But you know what's crazy is it's similar down to the fact that the people they're humiliating are just random people that. What they're doing is like, for the most part, these are not random people they're doing it to. And they're not terrorists either. What these people are people that they know for a fact that smile when a rocket comes towards them. So like they know like they're rounding up people that would fucking cheer. And that's enough for them.
Cheer
that's
what? Enough. If they died?
Would cheer if Hamas launched a rocket over the wall. They know these guys would... They wouldn't be like, oh, that's bad. They're not going to come out publicly against Hamas. So since in their mind, these people do not
condemn
Hamas visibly. Right. Like, they're not saying fick Hamas and working with
they're
them.
They're treated as that if too. They were.
They're already there because basically you might be throwing parties. You know what I mean? Like, to them, like, you might be one of the guys that's giving people ideas or you support it. And it's the same way they interrogate the kids, bro. They'll grab a fucking five-year-old kid, bro.
And they're rounding up doctors, journalists, radio hosts.
But hold on. They'll round up a five-year-old kid.
Right. And they call him a terrorist.
Hold on. He's in a neighborhood where another group of kids threw a rock.
Right.
So why is this kid getting rounded up? They don't know which kid threw the rock. So they take this kid. They're like, fuck it. There's a kid right there. He's hit playing with all of them.
Yep.
And they take that kid, bro, and they press him for 5, 6, 7 hours. Tell him they're going to knock his head off. Like, I've seen the actual interrogations. There's hidden cameras that have released this shit.
I've seen it too.
The way they talking to this kid, bro, it's like, bro, me and Bitturi Tamma like Hakim, bro.
The only state in the world that interrogates children.
Imprisons them. Military prisons. We're talking the only state in the world that imprisons children in military prisons.
Without due process, interrogation methods.
No trials.
It's crazy.
But it's bro, man. The child of Palestinian, man. The most resilient.
Ibn Zgurt.
Man, بيطلع baby. بلش يحكي لك مثل الزلمة, man. It's like رجال already. لأنه بتمانية كين على العالم كله, man. The kid had to learn how to just be a man when he was 6. You know what I mean? And it's just
you got to grow up really quick. I grew up really quick.
بيربوا لحالهم, bro. عنا ناس نحن بضيعتنا ماتوا أهلتهم هن وصغار. You know what I mean? ربوا حالهم, bro. إخوة.
That's our spirit, bro. That's why our spirit's strong because we.
Bro, عمرهم 9 و10.
How does that affect?
What they able jobs?
What is she?
Real jobs.
Oh, wow. So the kids, their parents died, and then they
stayed in the house, stayed in the house as kids, like 8, 9 year olds or 10 year olds, like when they're only a year apart. So they stayed in the house, and basically everyone around the neighborhood just always just checked up on them.
Yeah,
and just did stuff for them, anything they needed. The land was theirs, everything was theirs, and they just grew up in it. And we'd come back every year. They're 12 and 11, 13 and 12. Da, da, da. Now they're grown-ass men. One of them went to the military. The other ones, you know what I'm saying? And like, I watched these kids turn into men so fast. Mm-hmm. And I could just imagine how Gaza is, bro. They didn't even have to do it under a war condition. Yeah. They had to just do that, just being poor as fuck.
Right.
And what they don't realize is the radicalization of, like, you know, people use that word a lot, but you don't have to be a terrorist to be radicalized in the mentality of, like, you see this happening to people, you're going to be opposed to it and you're going to be outspoken about it. Go ahead.
I was still like the Elon Musk thing where he's like, how many Hamas members did you create by doing this?
Exactly. So when
at least he's smart enough to say what the fuck the obvious is.
Yeah. So like they don't realize that, you know, they're creating a bigger, if they couldn't handle Hezbollah in 2006, they technically lost. Right.
Why technically, bro?
Yeah, they lost.
Bro, he's like, bro, I literally don't want to cut him off, so I'm going to wait for him to finish what he was saying. But, bro, seeing what they did in 2006, I couldn't even fucking believe it, bro. Right. Like, it was right in front of me.
If they can't handle Hezbollah in 2006, they can't handle Hamas right now. Imagine in 10 years when the resistance force they just created is even bigger.
Oh, bro, 15 mara, they didn't double, triple, or quadruple. They went times 15, times 16, bro.
The thing is, we don't want to have to fucking resist, bro. Like, everyone just wants to be left the fuck alone and live peacefully.
So, wait a minute. You're from Amman, right?
That's where I grew up.
Where you grew up. Where are you from originally?
Gaza.
Enta min Gaza. So... What was I going to say, though, the point to that about Lebanon?
You were saying Nasrallah when he showed up on TV and
he's pointing his finger in the air.
It's like, bro, like when you know, like, there's nothing you could do to somebody. Yeah. So basically why I was asking you that is, what's your opinion on Hezbollah and how do you feel about them? Like, because like in Lebanon, people went back and forth their whole lives about them because Hezbollah has always been a resistance group, but they have a bit of a bad reputation because of what happened in Syria. And like Syria was like a really crazy situation and they fought like they were crazies. They were the most vicious motherfuckers in Syria. You know what I mean? So like people go back and forth how they feel about them. To me personally, I feel like they understand the fact that if they didn't exist, neither would we, period. And that's how I feel. The whole entire shit about Iran taking over Lebanon and they're serving Iran. It's the biggest bullshit ever. It's weird ass fucking Western propaganda that has got into our minds in Lebanon. And now the average Lebanese dude would be like, Khalia America tahtalna, like let America come and take over this fucking place. And it's like, no, you don't understand that all we want is sovereignty and to be left alone and to be economically free.
Right.
Which brings me to what I want to say to you. Gaza can end a port, okay? Rah al port min Gaza, okay? Dimashq used to have a port too. Rah al port min Dimashq during the war. So now there was only two ports left that were bringing in money in and out of the Levant Basin, which were Haifa and Beirut, okay? In 2020, mysteriously, it fajr 200,000 shakh fil port, okay? From a fucking explosion.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
The third strongest explosion to ever rock the planet. So it's behind Nagasaki and Hiroshima.
Really?
100%.
Wow.
So because it goes Nagasaki, Hiroshima, Beirut.
Shit.
This is your table of fucking chart. This is your chart of explosives.
Wow.
Per tons or whatever. The amount of tons of fucking TNT drop.
Yeah. There's a shit ton.
So it destroyed the port.
So they want us to believe
it was negligence.
That a third world country like Lebanon, which is literally has no infrastructure. We can't even put out fires. We have no helicopters. We have no planes. We can't even blow nothing up.
Electricity.
We can't blow nothing up but a building.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's maybe, right? No electricity, nothing. They want us to believe that our civilization, you know what I mean? Us, has the capability to not only create the third strongest explosion of all time, but do it by accident. Bro, it's the biggest bullshit ever. The truth is, there's only four fucking countries on earth that could even possess the ability to release that much energy. And when you factor out two of them, you just know that it's like, okay, well, you know, it's these two. So it comes down to, like, to me, so, America and Israel.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? What are the, like, other two? What are the other two?
Russia. No, not even North Korea. Russia and England. That's it.
That's funny because that kind it directly contradicts what a few episodes before we had Nimr Abu Nasr on, and he was saying that.
You know Nimr?
No, but what was he saying? Wait, the comedian?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's crazy. I wish I got to see him, man. I used to be in Beirut. I was a kid when he was coming up.
You guys should
meet. Well, introduce
him. I love him, man. Yeah.
You guys are like the same age.
Shouts
but
out there.
Anyway, so long story short, he said that Israel, I mean, that ammonia or ammonium was in the port for like 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
So what he was saying is that if Israel or anybody wanted to bomb it, they would have already. But I guess there was like some kind of like fireworks went off or there was negligence involved. But, we could also.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Habib Albi Nimr Awalshi. But the thing is, I don't know if he's aware of this, but you gotta see all the little pieces to actually put the picture together. You just gotta go a couple of years back from when the port exploded, and you gotta see this briefing that Netanyahu did. Mm. All right. So Netanyahu comes out in the briefing and literally has a map of the three locations that he is intending to completely destroy. Mm. One of them is the port, bro.
Really?
You can't erase this off the internet. It's there. It's online.
Well, yeah.
And he told us, Lebanese naymin, bro. Lebanese hatun al argali will fucking akl al khara, fucking, you know what I'm saying? Ra'as, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're just not paying attention, bro.
Yeah.
Like, he came and told us, like, man, hal por man anil an ardu man hada abisir fi isha hon abifautu isha. Now, to answer your question about the stuff being there for 8 years, that is literally a theory, because it could be the same stuff going in and out for 8 years. Right. Like, who the fuck?
I mean,
nafs al da'a, bro. You know what I'm saying?
It also kind of sounds like the logic of, like, oh, if we wanted to, if we didn't care about civilians, we would have, if we wanted to commit a genocide, we would have killed all 2 million of you.
Bro.
Like, it sounds like that type of rhetoric we could have done more. It's like,
no, I don't think anyone said that. I don't think nobody said that. He was just saying if they really wanted to destroy
They really wanted to, and they told us.
It might have just took
8 years. Whoever's hearing, I know not everybody speaks Arabic, but whatever. You have to understand what happened, what they did, you know what I mean, was something that they told us in our face they were going to do. You know what I mean? They did it, and the excuse is the same fucking excuse, and I want everybody to hear this out. Because I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks. Cool. They want to label them as terrorist killers or whatever they want. Cool. That's cool. You don't have the right to tell anybody from another country, okay, what they can and can't store in their port. Like, how is this fucking logic? But the Lebanese guy will tell you, I be storing bain al alam hatin al mitfazrat. Why bidri rohu ya ras ayri inta? They have to come to the fucking port. You don't look at your fucking people for it. You look at the people that are the offenders.
Right.
So the fact that they have this stuff doesn't give them the right to do anything. Yeah, then, right. Second of all, bro, there's DEWs, bro. خلاص ولا الحكي الخرا إنه كل شيء صاروخ وما بعرف شو. Everything's about missiles and rockets, bro. They got fucking DEWs, What's directed that? Energy weapons. Period. Okay, and that raises another question for me.
The lasers and shit.
Yes, bro. They could start fires. Look at Maui.
Maui.
The Maui shit is obvious. Guess who they tested this on before Maui? Lebanon. Okay, and everybody in Lebanon, because they're so smart, bro. Darabuna haraul al balad killu at the same time, bro. The first time this has ever happened. Lebanon,
when was this?
In like 2020, 2021, during COVID and all this shit. Lebanon, ma bhayat tuhtarat, bro. It was like in 20, it was right before the explosion, bro. So it was like 2020 or 2009. It was 2020.
Okay.
Bro, it came at a time. It's so intelligent how it happened. All because the Lebanese people, how do you make them attack each other?
Yeah.
They did it at a time where they knew the money for all the fire departments and for building and developing all the administrative money that was coming to the politicians was getting fucked off.
Yeah.
They were spending the money on different shit.
Right.
So they knew there was no infrastructure to put out fires. We have zero helicopters, zero firefighters, zero anything. We watched Lebanon, I bihtar it, bro.
Oof.
Period. Lebanon, in my opinion, from these same type of weapons, bro. These are new fucking weapons being tested on us, bro. We're the lab. Gaza is a lab experiment, bro, for new weapons. Okay, for anyone watching this, this is how it works. They go, Israel has the best defense force fucking marketing strategy in the world right now that everybody wants because they have a tested and proven on the field selling system. Oh, so unlike all the other weapons manufacturers that come up there and they're like, hi, we're from Italy. We just built, like a fucking, people will be like, oh, okay, that's a nice rocket, but what does it do? You know what I'm saying? Like the Israelis are like, oh, here's footage. This is actually being used as we speak. So it's the craziest selling point for
customer
them.
Customer testimonials.
So these fucking places are becoming lab experiments like Gaza. Gaza right now, bro, do you see the type of weapons they're using? It's a new rocket every other day,
the
bro.
Phosphorus. You see the
picture. Phosphorus isn't new, but like, right, bro.
The pictures of the reserves of the rockets, the fucking rockets are...
Bro, the RX-9 Hellfire that throws the blades, bro, that doesn't even have a fucking incendiary fucking warhead on it. So it just throws fucking blades. Then there's this other bomb. I don't even know what it is. I'm still trying to look it up right now. It's crazy. I can't even explain what it looks like. It looks like a fucking fire sprinkler or some shit coming out of a fucking rocket with like wings. And bro, they're just testing this shit on people.
And they're throwing this shit on our fucking kids.
On anybody. That they don't give a fuck who, where, who's around. They could be their people in the building, bro. They don't give a fuck. This is an absolute death squad that exterminates shit.
But like people say, like, it's just war. It's just war.
It's not just war because, again, this I'll give you the same statistics.
When the fuck was war just war anyway?
I'll give you the same
statistics. People die, you know? That's what they'll say.
No, people don't die. That's what fucking murderers say.
Bro. I'll give you the same collateral damage statistics that I gave the Elon guy. There is no way you could ever say that it's war because...
Civilians are way outnumbered.
Because not only that, because if 0.5 babies die in Ukraine every 2 years, and if one baby dies in Iraq throughout the whole war, and if 1.5 babies die in Syria throughout the whole war every day, but then 170 of them die in Gaza a day, you see, this is not a fucking collateral damage issue now, is it?
Can you say that one more time?
In Ukraine, the whole entire 2 years of fighting, 0.5 babies died a day.
Okay.
That means every 2 days, one baby died. Mm-hmm. That's how collateral damage works. Right. Babies are delicate. You know what I'm saying?
It happens.
Shit happens. The baby ends up dying. You know what I'm saying?
Still tragic.
Or they don't even have access.
Of course it's tragic, but that's collateral damage, though.
And that's a half a day.
Yeah, that's in a fucking war, that's good. Like, that's amazing.
That ratio's not bad.
That people are not getting slaughtered left and right in the war. That means they're being precise. That means they're not, they're being careful.
Right.
When you go from 0.5 and 1 and 1.5 to 170, bro, it's obvious there's no lack of control there.
170 babies a day are dying in
on average. Yes. On average
right now.
Is it?
It probably slowed down like in the last couple of days or a week because of the ceasefire.
It sped right back up.
But I'm saying like right before the ceasefire, bro, it was getting to crazy numbers. Like some of the days it would be like 300 babies died in one day. Like it's...
Yeah, and then like you get to the point where it's not just from bombing; it's from malnutrition. It's from
that's what's about to start happening right now.
It's already happening. Like they're lining
NICU up in the street.
I mean, when you have the hospitals being taken over, and they have to leave the NICU babies behind.
Oh yeah, the babies are decomposing in the ICU.
The incubator story is crazy as hell.
So it's not just directly from bombs. It's from starvation. It's from...
I mean, they seized the hospital. They surrounded the hospital with tanks and shit, and they cut off the energy to the hospital, and the babies literally started dying.
I'll tell you another story, too, that's, like, really tragic just like that. Like, when they were forced to walk, like, some of the women were going into labor, and, like, one of the ladies, she literally went into labor during the walk. Her husband stopped to be there for her and comfort her, and the Israeli soldier aims at him and says, keep walking or I'm going to blow your head off. So he had to keep walking while he left her on the ground giving birth, and he hasn't seen them since. He doesn't know where they are now. He just walked away and never know. Bro, what kind of... It's like real shit. Like, it's like stuff that people can't make up in a movie. Like, if you fucking wanted to write a movie, you could have come up with shit like this.
I mean, fucking crazy. Probably one of the saddest videos... was a woman holding her baby that passed or got, okay, sorry, fuck it. She got murdered. And fucking
good job correcting yeah, your language.
Good job. Double speak.
CNN takes some cues.
Yeah, like just got fucking just massacred. And like she said that she had to take 580 injections just to have that kid because oh, the yes, IVF.
Yeah.
And she was, I just like, I was like, and then I saw in the comments, like, you know, women from all over the world saying, you know, I'm an IVF, you know, user too. Not sure. The acronym is something about they had to, you know, they have to take injections to be able to go into labor and have babies. So she worked. So, I mean, just to have a baby in Gaza to like.
Obviously she went through make so it much. Difficult because of the fact of what babies multiplying means to them.
Right.
Like, and this is a great thing to segue into. It's the reason why there's this confusion, why so many kids are getting killed. There's really no confusion if you look at the rhetoric that they're pushing from their commanders and all of them talking about Amalek and erase everything. Don't leave an infant, an animal. Right. Don't leave a suckling. So all that type of talk, you see it reflective in the shit. And the fact when a lot of their religious leaders are also relating it to stories in the Torah about how like, you have no mercy on the child. You know what I mean? It's not you having mercy on the child, but you not showing mercy to the victim that this child will later on grow up to violate. So you're doing a disservice to yourself by not showing no mercy to a child, bro. And it's like, so they're promoting this stuff, and this is like people out there that are regularly spoken. So imagine the people that aren't saying shit that feel that way.
Right.
And now you get an example and a good understanding of why so many babies are being deliberately knocked off. I think it's a mix. It's a lot of it probably is hatred for just babies that are Arab, right? But a lot of it is fear, bro. It's genuine. I literally had this realization, like it's actual genuine fear where they are terrified. They are literally wiping out as many as they can out of actual real fear. Like in their mind, they're defending themselves because they just know that kid's going to grow up and do something.
You know why?
because
they know what they're doing.
Of course.
They know the evil that they've put into the hearts and lives of these kids.
Correct.
So they're in power. And I was thinking of this quote, like I wanted to write this down somewhere, but it's like, those who have power will fucking grip onto it until their fists bleed. Because they know all the evil they've done.
Everyone.
And when they let go, that shit is going to come right back in their face.
Yeah.
They're going as hard as they fucking can, killing everybody, because they know in their hearts.
It's over. It's already past the point of no return. And you know what? That also is a segue into a good way to understanding, like the inside the paranoia of the average Israeli mind, that if the Israeli state was to be disassembled military-wise, that they feel like everyone's going to come and kill them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of brings us back to even what you were saying earlier. It's like, what's so difficult for them to, for like, the regular Israeli citizen to disavow Zionism?
I feel like this is the easy thing to say, is like, all you got to do is disavow Zionism and you're good. So the ones that don't feel safe to me are admitting, like the ones that are like, oh, once the Israeli power is gone, we're dead. Right. I think these are people that feel guilty because they know that like they gonna have to answer to the way they felt.
Right.
But like if you talk to Jewish people that don't feel support Israel, they don't feel that way. They don't have that fear of like, if we lose, because they're like, we have to win the battle. Like Netanyahu's like, we have to win. I feel like he's the perfect example of it because he's caught up in so much fraud in his country and he's fucked up. The Israelis want him out so bad. He has no choice but to win. If he loses, Netanyahu might even go to jail.
Yeah.
Israelis are not to be fucked around with. They might be the first people to jail their president, their prime minister. They might be the ones to do it. Americans, we're too fucking pussy.
He was on his way. He was on his way. And then
Bro, they were showing up to his house.
Right. Yeah.
When the fuck has that ever happened out there, bro? Nahna Libnani, we didn't even do shit like this. They're showing up to his house.
Well, it just shows them a lot of people don't support, you know, like their government over there. And
Those are the ones those are our allies. Why would they feel unsafe with us? We have no fucking problem with you. Right. Come hang out. We can drink coffee. Show you how to make it the right way.
100%. Yeah. And the thing is, we don't have hate in our hearts, bro. It's like, I read something today. It's like every Zionist accusation is a confession. Like, we're not the ones that want to go and kill your babies. We're not the ones that want to inflict damage on you. Right. We want to just chill, bro. We just want to live peacefully. We just want to be good where we are, bro. We're not. There's nothing to fear from us. But
to go off of that, like, everything that they say is like they're dictating what happened at Deir Yassin.
Right.
Sabra Shatila. Like, they were actually throwing babies into ovens.
Cutting women's bellies open.
And they're literally just saying exactly what they did decades ago.
It's so crazy hearing it. It makes me think that the reason why they're doing it is because these atrocities that were committed were so crazy, is that they remember these as the craziest and most biggest atrocities of all time. So let's use this as an excuse, because we know this to be the craziest thing ever, because we've done it. Nazis. You get what I'm saying? Like, so to them, they're like, oh, this is the maximum, because like, it's ingrained into them to rip shit apart like that. So they're like, okay, we'll say they do it. They don't know about a level bigger than that or a different thing to use as a lie, because that's what they know. Like, to me, it's like, bro, it's always like that. It's always self-projection. It's always, oh, they beheaded the babies and they all did this shit. But then you look to the side and you just see like a headless Palestinian child.
Right.
It's like, bro, it's like a joke. Like, they're playing a joke on us. Bro. Yeah, it's like they tell us, this is what you did. And we go, oh, we did. And then we go look online and it's happening to us.
It's our kids.
It's like, what? Like, so, but then you can't be mad about that. Like, we seen the kid come out the ambulance without the head, bro. He was holding him up. We all seen the shit, bro. I couldn't even post it on my page. I didn't even post it on my page. I just said something about it. Because I knew if I posted it on my page, like...
delete.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to show that. Like, they're not going to let you show that. You know what I mean? Like,
they're going to censor the shit out of it, bro. It's a really dystopian, weird time that we're going through right now. But yeah, we're going to transition away because... We do want to hear about disaster himself, man.
No, like,
we could go on about Palestinians.
This is beyond politics.
This whole conversation is politics. Honestly, I forgot that you even rapped.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
I mean, as a rapper, that's part of you.
I've kind of been taking a break off that.
Can I ask, like, since we're deep into this political thing, I haven't really been talking that much. I don't like politics personally. More of a humanitarian person. Like, what's happening? You know, obviously, we want a ceasefire and all that. Like, and it's the more horrors you're seeing, like, it's undeniable what's happening. You know, but like, what do you see as the future? Do you see other countries coming in? Do you see, you know, like, we don't know what's going to happen, but like, is Lebanon going to come in? Like, you know, like, what's
the way forward?
What is the way forward? And the way
that, man, we're gambling, bro. I guess everybody is just waiting to see what their fate is, bro. The Israeli feels the same way. You know what I mean? He doesn't know if he's going to end up with a state or not. You know what I mean? A lot of them are afraid. For the first time ever, it seems like their dream is being taken from them. But for the first time ever, it seems for Palestinians, their dream is going to come true. And you got all these things happening and these countries involved. And, you know, Lebanon is literally getting bombed right now and on the verge of a full-blown invasion too. And I don't know what would happen in Lebanon. Sometimes I think, like, you know what? If they succeed in leveling Gaza, they're going to get big-headed. They're going to go into Lebanon. And they're going to end up fucking their whole entire fucking shit up by going into Lebanon. But then I think about, like, Lebanon will get destroyed. And do these countries really give a fuck? Like, would Iran step up like they think that they would? And Iran backing
that means
Russia,
they'll get destroyed.
Would they, like, would Russia really give a fuck if Lebanon fucking fell apart? No, they're going to try to help us and be like, yeah, we don't support the Israeli cause. They might sell weapons to Hezbollah. They might lead us to a cliff. And then when we're ready, they'll just be like, okay, time to fall. Like, it's just nobody cares, bro.
My question, I mean, it's always been so one-sided with the attack. Like, can you imagine if Tel Aviv got airstruck, for example?
What do you mean airstruck? Like, just bombs start dropping on it?
Not rockets. Like, some, like, people, like, you know, how Israeli fighter pilots.
They go into Tel Aviv, like.
No, I'm saying, like, Israeli fighter pilots.
The same type
fly
of damage
over.
That's happening.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my
us.
God. They would have lost their, they would have leveled
the
whole
planet. But I'm saying, like, they do that indiscriminately to people thousands of times. And if it happens once, it's like the end of the world.
9/11.
Correct.
It's October 7th. You know what I mean? And again, we don't condone that. We condemn it, we like it, it's a we understand like you have to go
I
into
mean, nobody
the
human, respects civilian life being
the,
taken.
Yeah, right. You go into the human psyche and you say, okay, I understand. I don't agree, but I understand why this happened.
Right. Yeah.
And you, what do you expect from you beat somebody over and over and over? You put them in a corner. What's going to happen? You're gonna get what you what happened.
I mean, it is like fucking or being a pet, fucking being like an alligator keeper. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, like
the killer whales that kill their trainers. Like, what do you know
expect?
What
I'm saying? You're gonna keep on riding on the whale's back and fucking trapping him in a cage, telling him what to do, and he might just drag you to the bottom one day.
You're gonna get chomped. You're gonna get chomped. But yeah, so it's again, you were talking about his like being back. This isn't politics. This is our life, man. This is this is.
That's the thing. Like when he said, "I don't like politics." Like when he said, "I don't like politics." That's how I was at one point in my life, and you can't avoid it, bro. It is actually the
that's how I was 2 months ago. I didn't want to talk about anything.
We're working on him. He's getting a lot better.
No, but you're not gonna be able to avoid it at some point. You're doing good now, but you're gonna lose track, bro. You're not gonna be able to. No, it's going to eventually take over.
You can look. I mean,
he's been documenting the struggle.
The thing is, I've been in the streets talking to people. Protests. I went to D.C. I went to the.
I'm a Jeep de Mag, bro. Let me come with you.
I went to talk to Palestinians, Israelis, Jewish people, Jewish Voice for Peace. Like, I didn't sign up for this, but I had to. I can't be silent. Got to let people talk.
That's good.
In their story,
they got to do their part, man.
Yeah, 100%.
Big respect.
And man, we could definitely.
All right, you want to talk about battle rap? Go ahead.
Bro. No,
his favorite topic.
Again, we could.
I was supposed to battle an Israeli, and now he's like not giving me the date, and he's acting all weird and shit.
For real?
Yep.
Damn.
It's the only battle I want to do. I'm retired, bro.
Why is it your least favorite topic? Talk about it all the time too much.
What's my least favorite topic?
Battle rap.
Oh, I'm over battle rap right now because it's kind of pointless.
Yeah.
I already done everything there is to do in it. Yeah. I just want to battle this Israeli dude. And I just hope he would get the balls to take the battle, man.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just finally just agree to do it and stop dragging along and going over there and pushing propaganda.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be an epic battle, bro, seeing you like going in.
Especially with who he is, bro. Like he's actually.
Who is he?
His name is Kosher Dills. He's like this dude that's in the street.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, he's interviewing people just like he is, but like he's just. He's like doing this like kind of like passive, like, oh, it's all, peace and love type of shit, but just won't even admit there's a genocide going on. And just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's cool. I just want to have a conversation with him about it. You know what I mean? I want him to tell his side and I tell my side and that's it. You know what I mean? It's just, they know like there's really nothing to say, especially in front of the shit that I wrote. I spit Eddie some of the shit too. Like he lost his mind when he heard the shit. Like it's the nuttiest shit I ever wrote in my life.
Damn.
It's absolutely fucking insane. And like whatever. I mean, I shouldn't even have said that because he's going to see this now and get even more scared.
Uh-huh.
Maybe now I definitely don't have a chance of battling him because I don't think he believes in himself or the shit that he's going to say. You know what I mean?
I mean, how many people want to stand up against disaster talking about what he's most passionate about?
I guess that's what
bottom
that's
of his heart. You know what I'm saying?
That's the key.
Like you've decimated people over a lot less.
Hey, he's not watching all the way through.
Like,
this.
If you catch me on some hobby shit, you can get you might get a sneak in a win. You know what I mean? Me just fucking around, but you're not gonna sneak in a win if this happens. There's no fucking win.
Not on this.
I'd rather fucking be buried alive.
Hey, tag me in too.
Then lose him.
Saying?
Like, there's no way I'm losing.
Yeah.
Your rap battles and with Drake there and his reactions.
Oh yeah, I battled with French Montana was there too, man. Yeah, shouts out to French Montana.
How was that? When like real rap, like well, not real rappers, when rappers are like you're the real deal, you know?
Yeah, like, that was crazy. Taylor Swift was there too, bro. I put some money in her fucking in her top, bro, and all that shit, man. Yeah, hell yeah. She, she asked for a picture with me. What you mean, bro? The picture's online too. She's like all up on my shit, bro. Wow. You can tell I didn't ask for the picture. You can
tell. Woman of the year, Taylor Swift.
Yes, Taylor Swift, bro. Yeah. She's like, let's take a pic. I'm like, oh, grab the phone. Yeah,
that
was a cool night battling at Drake's birthday party, man. I was actually booked to be like a surprise for the party, so like. They were like, we got a present for you. Then I came out. Drake's uncle, like a he seemed like a Brooklyn Jewish guy or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like he's just like, listen to me. In my days, man, like you're like Rodney Dangerfield. You know, like it's like, it's like you remind me of him. You're like the only thing I love it. Like he was just telling me how much you love me. I was like, damn,
that's
this fool loves me more than Drake does.
That's crazy. That's dumb.
Would you be up for a battle against Eminem? And do you think that you could?
I'd go off on him like I would on Kosher Dudes. Like, it would just be absolutely fucking insane.
You'd have to, right?
Lose my mind completely.
Yeah.
I don't even think, like, to be honest with you, like, I don't think he would stand a chance. But, like, I might be wrong because it's M. It would definitely be the biggest challenge he's ever had in his life. And I'm pretty sure he thinks so, too. I'm pretty sure he understands that. You know what I mean? Like, he knows that. Like, I'm the dude that would do it. If it wasn't me, it would be Pat. Pat's not with us no more.